Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Morgan Nowak.
And I'm Kate.
And I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. All right. Hey, guys. Well, today we're really excited to talk to you about God's voice, and we want to talk about discerning God's voice, discerning the enemy's voice, and just like some practical application. And so we're really excited to get started and to jump into that today. But Kate, start us off. If you are maybe a new believer or maybe you're a seasoned believer, but you're just seeking to hear more from the Lord and you don't even know where to get started, what are just maybe some basic ideas to keep in mind as you kind of start this journey?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to keep in mind when trying or like wanting to hear the voice of God is that what he says is going to align with scripture. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so important to be reading your Bible and to be memorizing and meditating on different verses throughout the week so that you can understand it better for yourself and so that you know, oh, this is not, like, this doesn't align with scripture. It can't be from God. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be like my biggest, that's like the simple answer, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, just bathe yourself in scripture, you know, because if you don't know God's word, then how are you going to know if it aligns with God's word? Right. So just read God's word, start somewhere, you know, maybe you've never read the Bible, start with the Gospels, mm-hmm. start with the New Testament, you know, and then just start seeing what does God say in his word? What does Jesus say while he's here on earth? What example has he given? And start to get to familiarize yourself with who this God is that we follow. That way, when he does start to speak to you, you can recognize, oh, you know, I've heard of this guy. I've heard what he has to say. I've heard of his heart. I've heard of his character. This makes sense as far as what he's saying to me. And right, I think you said this, you'll never disagree with his word, you know? So if you're hearing something that you feel like is from the Lord, but it is in stark contrast with God's word, like, for example, man, I can't think of anything, but like if you hear a voice telling you to, you know, steal an apple or something, you know, that is not in accordance with God's word. Right. So that's a small example, but God would never tell you to do something in your life that he hasn't told you to practice through his scriptures. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great point. Another one that I think of is surrounding yourself in community and trusting wise counsel.
Yes.
There's a lot of times that in my life, God has spoke to me through others and, or maybe he's been, you know, pulling me in a certain direction or leading me in a certain way, but I'm really unsure about it. And then he's used others maybe to confirm those things.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that's true. I was talking to a friend about this podcast and she was saying, like, you know, God isn't always like very, he's not going to confuse you because our God's not a confusing God. So often he'll send like Morgan or somebody that I'm friends with and they'll say something that like kind of reaffirms what I've been thinking I've been hearing from the Lord, which I thought was a really good point because I've never really thought about it that way, but it's good.
Yeah. Well, here's that exact thing happened to me very recently. Today is Monday. On Friday, I was at a meeting. And if you know me at all, which a lot of y'all do, you know that my husband and Seth and I, our heart is to go overseas long term. And that's what we want to do. And we know we feel very pulled in that direction. But this is a conversation for another time. But I don't put a lot of stock in the idea of calling. I have an issue with it. But that, we could talk about that some other time. But I do feel like we were being very pulled in that direction. And I feel like it's clear that the Lord has placed it on our hearts and the Lord has given us specific experiences that would make sense for us to go overseas. Mm-hmm. And so we were just, you know, trying to be faithful and walking in those directions. And I was at a meeting on Friday and I was telling someone that I don't even know very well all about this and what that looks like more practically in our lives and things like that. and just what the Lord has led us through and how he's equipped us. And he stopped me, and he is a believer, of course. And he said, listen, I just feel like I need to say this out loud. I don't know if it's for me or for you or what, but, you know, you're talking a lot about how God has led you in these ways, and whether, you know, you feel this way or not, it's clear that God has called you to the mission field. And I was just like, wow, you know, I've never really said that out loud to myself just because of my, you know, thing about calling. But to have him say that and just confirm that in our mm-hmm. lives, it really meant a lot to me. Yeah. And I wasn't doubting that that was God's voice in the first place, but it certainly confirmed it for us that, okay, you know, we're not crazy and other people see this too. And so I really, really appreciated that. And I really needed a brother in Christ to come alongside and encourage us in that. So that was one way that community, you know, really spoke into me in that time. But it took me being open and honest and transparent and vulnerable with mm-hmm. him about how I felt God was speaking to us in order for him to confirm. Or he could have denied it, too. Luckily, he didn't. But that's an example from my own life that I've seen that happen. Yeah. Is there any other ways that you think the community, having people around you that love Jesus, could kind of push you towards God's voice or help you discern those things?
Not that I can think of.
Cool. No, that's perfect. Just making sure I wanted to give you room to speak. cool. Yeah, well, good. I think one of the biggest roadblocks that we face trying to hear God's voice is we get worried that we're listening to the enemy's voice. Mm-hmm. Because it is easy to get confused and easy to get worried about, you know, what you're hearing, what you're thinking. And of course, we want to be wise in that and discerning in that, that we're not allowing the enemy to have any stock in our lives, any control over what we're doing, you know. And so what are some ways that you think of to differentiate hearing God's voice versus hearing the enemy's voice?
Yeah, so I actually have a little chart. And it, one side is like God's voice, the other side's the enemy's. And so for God's voice, he's going to convict you in love because he's a loving God. He wants what's best for you. But the enemy's voice will send guilt and condemnation in whatever you're doing. You're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel shameful. Like in Genesis, when Adam and Eve ate from the apple, they noticed they were naked, and then they went and hid. They were ashamed of what they did. And that was the enemy working in their life because God like came out and he was like, why are you hiding? And then God's voice is going to encourage you and reassure you, and the enemy's voice is going to discourage and kind of frighten or scare you send all this like anxiety and worry into your life. God's voice is going to lead, guide, and still you, and then the enemy's is going to push and rush you. Our God is not a God of time. Like there is no time for him. So he's not going to make you feel like I have to get this done because God said I have until Friday to get it done. It's not a deadline. So anyways, the Lord is going to bring clarity, and confirmation, whether that be through your quiet time or through, somebody else, like we were saying earlier. But then the enemy is going to confuse you. So you're going to be like, I don't really know. And then somebody's going to say something that contradicts, or the Bible is going to contradict it because it's from the enemy and not from God. And then God's going to try and bring you closer to him. So his voice is only going to bring you closer. But the enemy is going to give a spirit of control. And so you're going to think like, oh, I have this all in control. And that's like something I think the enemy fed me for a long time is like very, I have control over every situation. Like I know where I'm going to go to college. I know where I'm going to do this. I know what I'm going to go into. Mm-hmm. And then none of that happened because that was not the Lord's plan. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, that's funny that I thought that I had the control of all of that. But yeah, so I think those would be my, like, that chart is something that I've seen, like, on Pinterest and on Instagram, and so many people use it. But I think when you really sit down and start to read it, you're like, oh, wait, that is kind of, that's really true. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. As I was listening to you, I just heard so much, like, on the chart, the left side is all from God and the right side is all from the enemy. And the left side is just so full of, like, patience and love and encouragement and trust, you know, whereas the right side, the enemy side, is so full of fear and condemnation and guilt and all those different types of things. And I mean, we see that every single day, you know, even if you're not like in a big, huge, giant spiritual battle, or at least it doesn't feel that way every single day, that you're still making little decisions, you know, and the enemy is still speaking into your life and God's still speaking into your life every day in little tiny ways, you know. Yeah. And that's a great way, I think, to just exactly like you're saying, know when the enemy is the one speaking to you, because what is it leading you to do, or how is it leading you to feel? Are you being led to feel shame? Are you being led to feel not good enough? Are you being led to feel uncertain? Are you being led to feel unworthy? You know, because God wouldn't say that to you. Right. You know, God would say that you are His and that you are loved and that you are worth it. And so if it's not that, then it's probably not Him.
Right.
You know, which is a really, really important point. I was telling you this earlier before we started the podcast, but I heard someone say this a long time ago and it stuck with me a lot, is the very first question ever posed by the enemy in the entire Bible. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the first question ever, but I could be wrong, is the enemy in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He asks Eve, did God really say did God really say that you can't eat from any of the trees? Or whatever. And the enemy hasn't changed his tactics at all. You know, like, the enemy is still asking me all the time, did God really say that about you? Did God really say that you are, you know, worthy? Did God really say that you are good enough? Did God really say that you have been made perfect? Because he just wants to tear me down. And you have to stand up and stand on the strong foundation and say, yes, yep. You know, God did say that. Something that I tell people a lot in baptism meetings is when Jesus was on the cross, right before he died, he said, it is finished, period. There's no room for discussion there. There's no room for argument there. Like, he has done it. It has been done. God has said, and we are living on this side now of that commandment and that covenant that we are made perfect in him, you know? And so if the voices from your friends or the voices in your head, not in a weird way, but like the voices that you're listening to, you know, are saying that that's not true, then don't even listen to him, you know. Yeah. Don't give him the time of day, because it's not from the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. When we were speaking earlier, I was talking about when I first was a believer, like my freshman year of college, like 4 months into it. So I was in between the summer between freshman year and sophomore year. I was talking to one of my friends who just has the most insane stories about like hearing God's voice, like, legitimately, like, she could hear his voice. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I was reading my Bible and this really stuck out to me and really spoke to me. It was like she literally heard the Lord's voice, which is, I just think, is really cool. She's had multiple instances like that throughout her journey of following the Lord. But we were talking just kind of about, like, my anxiety was really bad, and I didn't like to sit in quiet and blah, blah, blah. And so she started telling me the Lord's, he speaks in quiet places. And there is in 1 Kings, it's 1 Kings 19, try not to bonk the microphone, 11 through 12. It says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper, which was the Lord's voice. But I think this is like very true statement. Like, the enemy is going to consistently like yell at you. And, you know, I think of like when somebody yells at you, it's very like, it makes me sad and like feel bad. And I think that the Lord speaking quietly is like him being, you know, gentle and loving. And like when somebody like speaks to you in a loving way, they're not yelling at you, unless they're really passionate. But I think this is why it's so easy to mute the voice of God and not the enemy, because the enemy is consistently like, you are not worthy, you don't deserve this, all that stuff. And God is in the background like, but you do, like it's in the Bible. I think that's why it's so important in quiet times, which is, there's a reason why we call them quiet time. In quiet time, to sit in silence and just listen. I also think, like, prayer is a two-way street. Like, it's not just you talking to the Lord. It's also the Lord's going to talk back to you. So I think allowing there to be space for God to speak back is a really important thing to put into your quiet time, which is something that I'm still working on, because I think especially in America, it's so easy to get so busy with everything and just rush around and go from this and that to the other. And sitting in silence is like, well, I don't really have time for that. Like, I'll do it later. Mm-hmm. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And then we never do it. So I think that I've really been trying to make it a point for, like, my quiet times to be silent with no music. And for me, in my prayer, to just have a time of where I just sit and listen. Mm. And I might not hear anything because, you know, God doesn't always, like, hey, Morgan, it's God. Hello. But it allows for me to meditate on scripture and for me to just practice active listening and just being. So.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, that's a huge misconception, I think, that a lot of us, like a trap we can fall into, that a lot of us believe, is that for God to speak to us, it does have to be, what you're saying, it has to be loud and it has to be dramatic and it has to be, you know, just this life-changing experience or whatever, where the clouds part and the angels sing and all these crazy sorts of things. And if that's not happening, God's not speaking to me.
Right.
And that's just so not true, you know, and exactly like you're saying, sometimes if it's loud and if it's crazy, and like that passage in 1 Kings said, if it's an earthquake and all this stuff, might not be the Lord, you know, not to say that God can't work through crazy things. Certainly he can. But I think much more often it doesn't look like that,
right.
You know, and making opportunities for him to speak to you in the silence. I think that we can hear often, you know, yeah, I'm trying to read my Bible and I'm trying to go to church and I'm trying to do these things that honor God, but I just don't feel like he's speaking to me. And I would encourage you to look at your schedule, look at your days, you know, look at your habits. Do you get up and you're already late and you have to, like, hurry and put your clothes on and rush out the door because you're already fixing to be late for work? And then once you get to work, it's busy, 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 you know, until you get off. And then when you get off, you have to go immediately make dinner. And once dinner's done, well, you got to put the kids to bed, you know. And sometimes that's what life is like. And those are certain life stages. And I completely understand that. But, like, is there any time throughout the week that you can put something on hold or prioritize just maybe even 2 minutes of silence, you know, to listen to God? I heard someone one time, they said every time they stop at a stop sign, you're supposed to stop, like, as per Georgia law, apparently, for, like, I think it's 5 seconds, 4 seconds or 5 seconds. And so they use that opportunity to stop sign to say a quick 5 second prayer, mm-hmm. just silent prayer, you know? And that's a small, silly example, but they couldn't find much more time than that in their day at that time, yeah. You know? And they said, this is Lord, this is all I have. And this is what I'm going to give to you. And they did. And it was fruitful.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Proverbs 2. Now this is a little bit more about, you know, seeking wisdom, but wisdom would come from God's voice. You know, God's voice probably leads to wisdom. And so what it says in Proverbs 2:2, it says, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that's something I want to ask myself is, am I searching for the Lord? Am I searching to hear his voice as I would for a hidden treasure? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and not just Morgan right now looking for hidden treasure. I don't know if I would prioritize that, but Morgan as, like, a treasure hunter, you know, I've given everything to find this hidden treasure. Is that how I'm seeking to hear God's voice? Because if not, you know, maybe some things need to change.
Yeah. When you were talking about the person who stops at the stop sign, mm-hmm. and prays for 5 seconds, that, and, like, that might be their all, really reminds me of the story of, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but it's somewhere in the Gospels, I think, but of the woman with her perfume that she, like, poured mm. out, and it was all she had to give, but it was so much greater because it was all she had to give than the people who were giving, like, some small portion of their money, but they were well off, but they were giving more than the perfume cost, so they thought it was better. But giving what you can mm-hmm. is all that the Lord wants. don't stretch yourself thin, but you know, that's, he wants that 5 seconds. Like, yeah. 5 seconds is better than zero. And if 5 seconds is all you can give, then give 5 seconds.
Yeah. So, yeah. And don't ever think that, you know, that your offering is too small for God. Yeah. You know, like, God can work in the 5 seconds, yeah. and he will. And, you know, like you said at the beginning, God is outside of time. You know, he doesn't need us. I mean, if you have it, that's great, but he doesn't necessarily need us to stop and spend 3 hours of our day with our face towards the Lord and doing nothing else and just sitting there in silence. You know, if you can do it, sure, go for it. Yeah, that's great. Who knows what the Lord will do in your life? But if you can't, that's okay. It doesn't mean that God's not going to work in your life. Yeah. Just start where you can, exactly like you're saying, you know. It reminds me even of the story about the widow who gave like the 2 small coins. That's all she had to give. And God was pleased by that. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't like, this is it. You know, instead he said, you know, Jesus said, you've given everything you have. Yeah. And another verse that I think of is in Hebrews 2. Hold on, I'm looking for it. I think I've lost it. It is definitely in Hebrews 2, but I can't find it right now. Well, if you're watching on the video, you can at least see that I have my Bible out, but I'll just do the Morgan paraphrase.
Isn't it Hebrews?
It's Hebrews 1.
1.
1 through 2.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, Hebrews 1, 1 through 2, right book, wrong chapter. And this is what it says. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. And so I just love that because it's like, look at Jesus, you know, look at what he said, look at how he acted, look at how he interacted with people, look at how he spent his time, you know, God has spoke to us through him. Mm-hmm. And so we never have to guess about what God is saying. Sure, God will speak to us directly and uniquely, but we never have to wonder about what that looks like because we can look at Jesus's life and see how God has already spoken. Yeah. And so definitely don't take that for granted either.
Yeah, for sure. I think we can talk about some more practical steps in hearing the Lord's voice. We are no professionals, but we, you know, there are ways that you can practice and set yourself up for, I guess, for lack of a better word, success in mm-hmm. hearing the Lord's voice. But I think I have 2-ish points. But I think the biggest thing would be praying for wisdom. If you don't understand if it's from God, if you are like, I can't tell if it's from God or from the enemy, I think getting into prayer by yourself, with your friends, with your community, with somebody older than you that you look up to that's like a spiritual leader in your life, and praying for wisdom and understanding, the Lord will give that to you. Because, again, the Lord's not a confusing God. He's going to show up and it's going to be clear, or it will be clear if you pray for wisdom and understanding, if it's not at first. Mm-hmm. And then what I was saying earlier, spend time in silent rooms. Listen. Don't drown yourself in your thoughts. Just allow yourself to be still and just be. For me, I set like an hour of my work day for just being. For just being. So that really threw me off. didn't know it was right there. But I think that's like something that I know a lot of people, especially that are my age, struggle with, just like sitting. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, well, and it's hard too, like in our day and age, you know, we have so many opportunities for distraction. Mm-hmm. Even if we're like, we're not going to get distracted, the phone is going to be like, bing, 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 you know, just plenty of reasons to stop the silence, you know, or, oh, I'll just be silent and generally kind of focus on the Lord while I scroll through Facebook or whatever it is, you know, and don't do it, you know, resist the temptation, put your phone in a different room, whatever, you know, go outside and don't bring people or phones or music, or don't bring it with you. Just go sit, you know, or something. Because for me, I say that because I think that a lot of times I almost have to force myself into it, you know, because even if I give it time, like if I put time aside for silence, I'll still find some reason, and sometimes a good reason, to not do it. Yeah. You know, oh, well, there's two good things. I'm going to choose this good thing, even though I know the other good thing is silence, mm-hmm. and it's necessary. But if I like force myself where there's no other opportunity other than silence, good still comes from it. You know, there back a long time ago, I don't know if anyone listening will remember, Jordan was leading something at the church called CEA, the Connection Equipping Academy. And one of the weeks in that was turning lists into love. And the idea of that week and that teaching was that just because you have to put it on a list doesn't mean it's not loving. You know, a great example was the guy that was teaching it that week. He said that sometimes he'll make a to-do list for the day, and on there he puts buy wife flowers. So he buys the wife the flowers. He takes them to her. Does she not feel loved because it was on his list? No, she feels very loved. In fact, she doesn't have to know it was on his list, you know.
Yeah.
But she feels very loved for receiving the flowers. She thinks, oh, he thought about me. You know, he cared about me. He took the time out of his day to buy me the flowers. And just because he wrote it down doesn't mean he wasn't doing those things, mm-hmm. you know. And so I say that because just because you have to maybe really force yourself to try this quiet time yeah. thing doesn't mean that it's not going to be honoring to the Lord. And it's not maybe even always going to feel that productive at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it takes practice, you know, and you have to start somewhere. And obviously we don't have kids, but I've heard that, you know, the first child and maybe even all the time, 5, 6, 8 children, whatever, the baby doesn't come out and you're like, oh, like I've got it now. I get it. You know, here it is. I know exactly what to do with this baby. That's not how it works. You know, you have to practice. There's probably some trying and some failing, you know, and there's probably a lot of lessons learned, but you weren't an expert at the beginning. But that doesn't mean that the child is not growing up in a way that is in a loving family and honoring the Lord, you know, and things like that. And so just don't set these huge, terrible, crazy, unachievable expectations for yourself when you're just starting out.
Yeah.
You know, I think starting out just by starting, just by doing it one time, even if it's for the 5 seconds of the stop sign, is a win.
Yeah.
So do whatever you got to do to start.
Yeah.
Good?
Good.
Okay, well, go listen to God's voice. Don't listen to the enemy's voice. And just know that if you do have questions about those things, it's worth it to trust someone close to you, trust a friend, trust a pastor, bring someone in on those conversations and ask their opinion, but be honest and be authentic and be vulnerable and let them speak into those things. And I think that you'll see a lot of return from that.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.